This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A hidden cost of buying items made in China, pollution in North American skies. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Some of that bad air people breathe in the American West is imported from China. It's from a new study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. A lot of the imported pollution has been specifically identified as coming from factories in eastern China that make goods purchased by Americans, which is raising fascinating questions about who is really to blame for the pollution. Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz joins us from Shanghai. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
So there was this proposition, okay, the jobs went overseas to China, but at least the pollution went to China. This study challenges that notion.
Absolutely. And that's why I think this research is so interesting. I mean, they've made connections between that very intense pollution that's being emitted in much of China and our own economic role in this very pollution. Buying products made in China is not only contributing to China's dangerous air pollution problem, but while those cheap exports are being shipped over the ocean to us, above it all are clouds of pollutants that are also being exported to America.
About every 3 days, you and I do a story on this program about China pollution. And Americans may listen to this and say, well, they really need to crack down on their smokestacks. But what this report is talking about is perhaps we, U.S. consumers, need to rethink some things.
Right. And I think this helps all of us understand that China's pollution problem isn't just a China problem. It's a global problem. China often gets a lot of flack for not doing enough to clean up its environment. And I think this kind of report shows empirical evidence that this is not just about China's government being irresponsible. It's about Western companies outsourcing manufacturing, outsourcing pollution, and our own demand as consumers for cheap products, which is driving this alarming increase in carbon emissions from this part of the planet.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
There's also word today that demand for oil in the U.S. is now growing so quickly that it's surpassed China for the first time in 14 years. This is about new domestic supplies of oil, including hydraulic fracturing or fracking, boosting the U.S. economy. But a jump in demand for oil in the U.S. can also damage the environment and alter the climate. The new report from the International Energy Agency says U.S. demand for oil grew by 390,000 barrels a day last year, 2%, after a long period of decline. The annual meeting of the World Economic Forum kicks off tomorrow in Davos, Switzerland. The corporate and government elite will gather in the Alps for 4 days of policy, private networking, skiing, and sumptuous dishes of raclette. This year, one of the big items on the agenda is, ironically, inequality, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
There's a lot packed into this conference, more than 250 panels and lectures, and plenty of opportunities for networking.
I think there are real possibilities for concrete action to come out of a place like Davos.
Catherine Klein is a professor at the Wharton School who went to Davos last year. She says you feel like you're among the who's who.
And if Davos and the World Economic Forum says this issue is important, that also gets folks' attention.
Darren Acemoglu teaches economics at MIT. He's never been to Davos, but he welcomes the focus on inequality.
It's good that, you know, the media, policymakers, academics are paying more attention to it.
Acemoglu notes there is an irony here.
They can spend a week in the most luxurious circumstances flying in their private jets precisely because of the inequality that we are talking about.
But Acemoglu says if the economic and political elites in our society are genuinely interested in a social problem like inequality, well, they can attract attention to it and contribute resources to address it. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Britain will start issuing plastic money in 2016. Canada rolls out plastic $5 and $10 bills. It actually did it last November. We're talking money made of polymer instead of rags. Around 24 countries have made the move from paper bills to plastic. But in the U.S., we take our time before messing with our money. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has more.
First stop, getting my hands on some plastic money.
So can I get a Canadian $5 bill and an Australian $5 bill?
Yes, let me get that for you. It's going to be $9.24 total for those together.
They are decidedly plastic, smooth, foreign. The man who passes over the bills is Russell White, a sales associate at Foreign Currency Express in L.A.
They're a little bit more slippery, so sometimes you get bills stuck together, so sometimes customers will end up giving you more than they thought they did because they all kind of stick together. A little bit harder to count, but they're good.
One rumored downside, he tells me.
I've heard stories that if you leave the plastic bills, the new Canadian, in the heat too long, they actually melt. So you can have your money go away in one day if it gets too hot.
Sounds like a challenge to me. I splay them on my dashboard, let them cook in the sun. 2 hours later, on an 85-degree day in L.A., the bills are fine. I figure I'll run them through another test. The washer-dryer, still fine. I boil them, freeze them, crumple them. They bounce back.
Actually, lasts about 2.5 times longer than paper.
Manuel Pereira is with the Bank of Canada. He says these polymer bills are also good for stopping fakes. They're plastic windows, a frosted maple leaf with a transparent outline.
It makes it more difficult to counterfeit, but also easy to use. And that's key to ensure that people can easily check for counterfeit.
You're not going to see George Washington on a plastic bill here in the U.S. anytime soon. According to the Federal Reserve, the current paper blend is very secure. But they say they're always looking at options, evaluating and reevaluating to stay a step ahead of counterfeiters. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And it's a bummer wedding if the band doesn't show up, the cake collapses, or somebody gets cold feet. With the cost of weddings on the rise in the U.S., couples are increasingly buying insurance for that. A $500 policy from, for instance, Travelers can help defray the sunk costs if things go to pieces. The average wedding in the U.S. is now about $26,000. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.